All right, we are holding on Gimelum and Bays, about a quarter of the way down the armored line with nothing. We talked yesterday about the case we have two Shvarim together push another Shor into a burr, and we discussed we had the Machlokas of Ramnathan and the Chachamim we have a case where one Shor pushes another Shor into a burr. How they split it up? What does the Bala Shor pay? What does the Bala Burr pay? The last thing we talked about was if you had two Shvarim who gored another Shor, and one of them you can't collect from because it's Sulam of Kashin. So we discussed pointed of nothing, you would collect everything that you're going to collect, Kati Nezik or Nezik Shalom, as the case may be, from the owner of the Shor that's ahead. So now in that connection, the Gemara is going to go into a similar kind of thing where you have two people together, or a person and a Shor together, rather, called the head. And there are various din involved. Amar Rava, Shor v'Adam Shadoch v'la Burr. You have a Shor and a person who push something into a burr. Now, what that something is, there can be many different possibilities. That something can be a person, it can be another Shor. We'll go through all the various possibilities. You can have a Shor and a person push another Shor into a burr. You can have a Shor and a person push another person into a burr. And you can have those are the two possibilities, basically. And so we'll go through, as it can also be as far as Kalim, they can have the person and the Shur push Kalim into the burr. So we'll go through all those various permutations. So, the Indian Mizikin, Kulan Chayavin, when it comes to the Nezik, if for example, they pushed a person in and he got injured, or for that matter, they pushed Shur in there and it got injured, all of them are Chayav because all of them participated in the Nezik. What it means, all of them are chayev. The Meiri takes the view that it means each one of them will pay one third of the nezek. There are other mafarshim who take the view that maybe the person and the baal asher that did the pushing will each pay one quarter, and the baal burr will pay a half. Because as far as the burr is concerned, it doesn't really matter whether one entity or two pushed it into the burr. Either way, the person is going to get injured. Okay. So according to that way of looking at it, the Bala Burr would be higher for half, because from that point of view, you have the Burr and whatever pushed him into the Burr. It doesn't matter from the Burr's point of view how many it was, whereas from the point of view of the pushers, there were two of them, therefore they'd split that Chatzin Nezek. Two different ways of looking at it. But anyway, they're all responsible. The Inyan Avod Dvarim, when it comes to the Avod Dvarim, which usually Avod Dvarim means everything except for Nezek, the Tzad, Ripuri, etc., or as far as Mevlodis, if the one they pushed into the burr was a pregnant woman and she miscarried, Adam Chayev, a Shor, a burr potter. So the person who is pushing is going to be Chayev, but the owner of the Shor and the owner of the burr are going to be potter, because those things only apply to a person who causes Hezek, not to a Shor who causes Hezek, which is what we learned previously, or to a burr who causes Hezek. Within Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Actually, Tosfos brings up an interesting point, that if the person who was involved over here, we have a person and a Shor pushing, if the person did it deliberately, why are we making the Bala Burr chayev for anything? Tosfos says, imagine for example Reuben takes Shimon's talus and throws it into Levi's fire. You're not going to hold Levi responsible. So Tosfos answers that it has to be that over here Reuben was also Shaloi B'Kavan. Okay, so why is he chayev in Boshes? Tosfos says because Shalom Kavana, he didn't realize that he accidentally pushed the guy into the burr. Shalom Kavana, you know, because then if he had done it deliberately, he deliberately pushed Shimon into the burr and injured him, then fine, there's no reason to be Machayev the Bala Burr. But if he did it by mistake, sure he's Chayev because other more larva. On the other hand, the Bala Burr then has a certain responsibility also, because after all, it's his burr that Shimon got injured in. That's the thing. There are other Rishonim who learn differently. The Rashba, for example, learns differently. He says that no, even if Reuben was doing and the Shur were pushing the person to Kavana, still, yeah, the Bala Burr is still responsible, basically, because like you're saying, what's he doing leaving his burr uncovered? Yeah. Anyway, according to going back to Tosfos, then
when they push without knowing.
No, because we said before, Adam Wardlaw, the mailer, if they didn't know, if they had no way of knowing the person is there before, like we had the case the other day where somebody comes into somebody else's foster, the baller foster has no idea he's there, and he swings his fist and hits him in the nose, okay, you know, but this here, here we're talking about that he knew the person was there, let's say, but he didn't realize it, whatever. So Tosfos answers that actually maybe as he's pushing the guy, as the guy is starting to fall in, he all of a sudden realizes, wait a minute, that's the person I'm pushing over there. That's how he'd be hiding Boshin, Tosfos says. But again, the Rashba says you don't even need that whole dose. Like you can say that he knew very well what he's doing. That's why he's high in Boshes. The Bala Burr is still high because he bears a certain responsibility also why he leaves his burrow uncovered. If it comes to kofer, if a person got killed by being dropped into the burrow over there, Ushloshim Shalevit, or if it was an Eved where instead of kofer you have the 30 Sloim, then Shur Chayev Adam Averb Turim. Then the owner of the Shur is Chayev, and assuming the Shur is Mord, of course, and the person and the owner of the bird are Potter because Kofar doesn't apply in those cases. The Inin Kalim, what about if they knocked Kalim into the burr, the Shur Psula Amakdashin, or if they knocked into the burr a Shur that is Psula Amakdashin, again, that was a Kurban, that had it been intended for a korban and then developed a mum and therefore it was redeemed. So there, Adam v'sher chayav and a bur potter. There, the person and the owner of the shur are going to be chayav for the damages to the owner of the shur. So long question, the owner of the bur is going to be potter. My timer, amakrav amesi aloi, because in the case of the bur, the pasuk uses the words amesi aloi, the dead carcass will be his, implying the misha ames shaloi. It has to be. It has to be a kind of dead carcass where you would be able to use it. You would be able to have enough of it. Not to Deshain and Meshalai. We had this the other day. We had this concept that when a Shurp Salam Akdashin, once it's dead, you can't do anything with it. You're not allowed to feed it to the dog or whatever because it was at one time Kaddish. All you can do is bury it.
Can't teleport. And money goes to.
No, because that's the thing. If you had shechted it and eaten it, fine, then the meat and everything would be mutabana, but since it died without ever being shechted, then no, all of it is also bana, even the fur, even the skin, everything. So Yotza Deshena Mes Shaloy, as opposed to this case, the mess is not his. You can't sell the Nevela. Rashi quotes the famous expression in poydin sakarchim lachivim leklovim. We're not poydin animals of hektish where the only purpose of the pidyon is going to be that you can feed them dogs. In other words, it's also bana. So therefore, now the Torah is therefore memayit that by a burr you don't have to pay for such a thing, for an animal dying in there. On the other hand, there's no such mirth by a person or a shur killing a shur of Sulam Akash, and therefore they're chayav. Tosfos discusses over here, by the way, a little bit the whole matter of what would happen if the animal hadn't been nifta at that point. Okay, anyway. Okay, the question is, remember the Pshita Leila Rava? You're telling me that Rava knows that the fact that if a shirk so long a flush and falls into a burr, the owner of the burr is potter, that he's saying it so factually, I'm a boy Leila Rava. But we find that Rava actually had a question on this. The boy Rava shirk so long a flush and shenot from a burr mouth, because he actually asked the question, what happens if a shirk so long a flush and falls into a burr? Do we say hi v'ames yaloi b'misha ames chaloi yotzei shein ames chaloi? Do we have that miut from the pasuk that v'ames yaloi that it has to be the kind of animal where once it's dead would be able to be mutabano? You'd be able to sell it and give the money to the mizik. Or maybe not. Maybe the word v'ames yaloi we learned from it what we learned earlier in the masechta that the owner is responsible for schlepping the animal out of the burrow. Well, you can't learn two things from one day. That's the thing. If we're saying that the shirk's still on the question, we would say your potter, the owner of the bird is potter. Yeah, the guy is still going to have to schlep out his animal. But the bailam tapim nevela, we said they meant the nizik had to pull out the behemoth.
Because
that's what we learned over there from the pasuk that tashlumin nezik the ma'amet shabbat and tapim in vela. Yes, Actually, no. I think what we said over there, no, sorry. I think what we said there is the Mazik is responsible for schlepping it out, but the Nizik is responsible for getting it sold as fast as possible before it deteriorates and isn't worth it. And that's what it was. But over here, but if we learn that, then we don't have it available to learn about Shor Psalam Koshin, where you technically can't sell it. So Rava had that as a question. So how does he saying it as a fact? The question is, what are we learning from Bamesi Eloi? The exception to Shor Psalam Koshin, or the fact that Bailam Atapim is available? And the answer is yes. Yes, originally Rava had that question. Afterwards, he figured out the answer. And once he figured out the answer is when he said the statement that we said before. So El Bailam Atapim and Avela Minale. So where Taka does he know this din of Bailam Atapim and Avela? The answer is Nafka Lemin Ram Messi Aloy, the Shur. Because the Torah says again Ram Messi Aloy. The Torah says it also when one Shur kills another. The Torah also uses the words Ram Messi Aloy. Good, so you have one Ram Messi Aloy by Bur to teach us that you're possible for a Shur Psalm Koshin, and another one to teach us that by Lamatapim and Avela.
Take care of it.
The question is, my Chosis of Ram Messi Aloy, the Shur, Mapsalel, Vailim, Matapim and Avela, Ram Messi Aloy, the Bur, Mapsalel, Mishap Meshamoy. So what, you have the two words, you have the words Ram Messi Aloy in both places, you have two different Lamudim. What makes you say that Gavka, the one by Bur, is coming to exempt the Shur Psalm Koshin, and the one by a Shur killing another Shur is meant to teach you that by Lamatapim and Avela? Why not the other way around? In which case, you would be chayiv if Shur Psalm Koshin falls into your burr. The answer is, because again, we have two Ram Messi alone. One teaches us that there's a certain exception where the mess is not yours, namely where it's a Shur Psalm Koshin. The other one teaches us a Bailam Atapim Nevela. So you're telling me Bailam Atapim Nevela refers to when one Shur kills another Shur. And therefore that it applies even if it's a Shur Psalm Koshin, the Baal Shur is still going to be responsible to dispose of the carcass. In the case of the Bur, you're saying that Messi Eloi teaches us Shur Psalm Koshin, your potter. Why not say it the other way around? By a bur yuchayev, and the owner of the bur yuchayev to pay the owner. However, the owner is responsible for finding something to do with the nevela. He can't feed it to dogs, but he has to find something to do with it, bury it or whatever. And in the case of a shur killing another shur, that you potter by shur psalam koshin. Why not say it that way? Yeah. The answer is mistabra p'tur gabi bur. It's more logical to say that the Torah is telling us the Ptur when it comes to Bur, Horul Potavaya Tekalim, because we find another Kula when it comes to Bur relative to Shur. Namely, the concept of Kalim. That Kalim fall into a Bur. Doesn't apply to Shur, exactly. The question is, Adarab Ptur Gabi Shur, Shaken Potavaya Chatzin Nezek. Fine, on the other hand, you have a leniency when it comes to Shur, that a Shur the first three times is only paying Chatzin Nezek, where the Bur is Nezek Shalom the first, for two or three, depends on Rashi and Tosfos, but whatever, a bur, you always pay Nezek Shalom to begin with. Okay, the answer is Nezek Mias and Kula, Nezek Mias Mias Ashkachon. Fine, but you never find that there's a Kula as far as the entire Nezek relative to a Shur. We're trying to learn, you're going down from Nezek Shalom to Chatzin Nezek, but you still have Chatzin Nezek. What are we saying with Shur Psalam Koshin? That you're going to be completely potter. So therefore, it's more logical to associate that with Bur, where there's another case with Bur that you're potter completely, namely Kalim. Rather than with Shur, where we don't really find any other case where you're potter completely by Shur.
Shur has a cool of it, it's less than Bur.
Right. The Mishnah said, Nafal says a Shur b'Kalim b'Nishtabra. Fuller, that if a Shur and its gear falls into a Bur and the gear breaks, so we said you're higher for the Shur, you're potter for the gear.
Regular Shur,
yeah.
Mihas is what?
Mihas means anyway. So the Mishnah said you potter for the kelim. No, you're right. I mean, if the shur was a pikeach, we said before, we'll discuss more later. Yeah, if the shur was blind or shur, whatever, or at night, yeah. The point is, even when you hire for the shur, you're potter for the kelim. The Gemara says, "Masnisim b'leik Rabbi Yehuda." Our Mishnah then does not go like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda b'chayev on this kelim b'bur. Rabbi Yehuda says you are chayev for kelim. That is this that the Mishnah says you're not chayev is like the other chachamim, not like Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi
Yehuda says you are. My time is Rabbanan, and I'm a Krav, and not a Shama Shur or Chamer, because the passage says if a Shur or Chamer falls into the burr, implying Shur, we learn Veloy Adam, and Chamer means Veloy Kalim. And what the logical idea behind it, by the way, the Meshach Chachma says the book, is that when with a person, usually a person is a ben das. Okay, technically the halacha is true once it's true of an adam in general, because it's a custom that applies to everybody, even little kids or shoytim or whatever. But still, generally a person has das to stay away from a bird. Actually, he mentions an interesting idea that the Yerushalmi brings, that if the bird is less than 10 tefachim deep and the person falls in there and gets injured, then you attack archai. Why? Because a person will know to look out for a bird that's 10 or more tefachim deep. They know it's something that could kill them. Torah Tzimim actually adds to be killed by a fall into a bird 10 tefachim deep, you had to have been walking really, like, totally not paying attention to what you're doing. That would be, and in that case, then you bear a certain degree of blame also. Whereas if it's a bird 9 or less tefachim deep, you may not pay attention to it in the first place, and therefore... Anyway, and then it's and then as far as Kalim, he says, because Kalim, I mean, they have an owner. The owner is supposed to be responsible for making sure they don't fall into the bird. Okay, it doesn't completely work, because you're saying over here that the shur is walking by with Kalim, he's still being mechayev for the shur and pattern for Kalim, but okay, in general. Okay. Anyway. So my time is up. I'm a crook. The apostle says, to answer to that. He says, oi, l'rabbis the Kalim. True, but the apostle says, shur, oi, chamor. The word oi, which means or, comes to add also kalim. Well, the nafal shama shur oi chamer, because otherwise it could have said shur vachamer. The rabbanon and the rabbanon answer back to that oi mevar lechalik. You need the word oi to say that it's one or the other. Otherwise, if it said nafal shama shur vachamer, you think both a shur and a chamer have to fall in there for you to be chalik.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't use that the same way.
So Tosfos points out that there is a discussion in Bava Metzia about this topic. That does the Torah, there's actually a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan over there, whether when the Torah mentions two things without mentioning oi between them, does it mean by itself, you can learn from that it doesn't mean one or the other, it doesn't mean both. For example, the Torah says, Maka over the imoi, mois yuma. That doesn't mean a person has to hit his father and his mother to be chayav mitzvah. It means or. So is it that the vav itself can mean or, and in that case it didn't have to say oi, or is it the vav can only mean and, however we have another pasuk that teaches us, in this case, that you're chayav for one or the other.
Well,
what is it? Is a person chayav mitzvah for hitting both his parents or only for hitting one of them? But how do we know that? The Torah says, Maka ovav v'ima mois yuma. If you understood the vav to mean and, then it would mean you'd have to do both, but it can't be. The point is, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the vav by itself, yes, can mean or. Whereas according to Rabbi Yoshia, no. Unless the Torah says oi, it really does mean both of them, unless you have another pasuk that teaches us otherwise, which he does. In other words, if the Torah said Makat Ovid oi imoi, for sure it means one or the other. Because the Torah says Makat Ovid vi imoi, you have two different ways of looking at it. Does it mean that the vav by itself already means or, so it means he hits his father or his mother? Or is it that the vav really means and? From that, if you only had that pasuk, you would think you have to hit both of them to be chayav mitzvah. There's a different pasuk that teaches you you're chayav mitzvah for only one of them. Applying that over here also, you'd have the same kind of thing. According to the chachamim, if it said v'nafal shama shur v'chamer, then you might argue it means you need a shur and a chamer. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't hold. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, small shur, small chamor, or whatever, I don't know. Or maybe it means one after the other. A shur falls in, you're not yet chayim until a chamor falls in also later.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, the point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use the word oi to teach us kalim, and according to the chachamim, you need oi just to tell us that it means one or the other. Rabbi Yehuda answers that you don't need that. You can learn the lechalik that it means one or the other because the Torah says v'nafal in the singular. So the Torah says v'nafal shama shur hamer. So the v'nafal is singular. So it falls in there. What's the it? A shur or a hamer? If it was both, it would say v'nafalu. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan answer, no, v'nafal turvamashma, not necessarily. The word v'nafal can just as well be a plural. Rashi gives examples. The pasuk says, for example, v'asa v'tzala v'aliyah. Usually it would say v'asu, but it means v'tzalo did and aliyah did. So the same thing over here. If the Torah just said v'nafal shama, v'asa v'tzalo v'aliyah, yeah. Yeah, Rashi brings in a couple of other examples. because it means that Fowler was working in his place and Aliyah was working in his place, whatever the point is. The point is, the Torah, Rashi brings three examples, two from Chumash and one from Nevi'im, that are like that, where the Torah uses a singular verb with two different things. Yeah. So the same thing.
Sorry,
Kivafam Hogu Ishavir Senum Ikru Shur. What about it? No, that's different. That's you're using the word shur to represent many shvarim. That's something else. We're talking about a real verb, like v'nafal. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, so that Rabbanan say, just from the word v'nafal alone, you wouldn't know it means only one animal. You'd think it means both. And therefore, you need the word oy to tell us that it means one or the other. Okay. Next. Aim, why don't we say, this question is really on both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, according to the Chachamim, you hire for any animal falling in. A shur and chamor doesn't mean only them, it means any animal, as we'll learn in the Mishnah on Madrid. Rabbi Yehuda is adding kalim. Why? Aim of a nafal klal, why don't we argue that the word nafal is a klal, it means anything that could possibly fall into a burr and get damaged. Shur and chamor is that, what? Which so far would include kalim. Shur and chamor is that, then the Torah would continue with shur and chamor, which would be a prat. Klal of prat, aim the klal, elamash of a prat. So it means the klal only includes us in the prat. Shur and chamor, aim the midiachrin alay. We need only a shur and chamor, nothing else. Not kalim according to the Yehuda, but also not a horse or a camel or
nothing
or yeah, nothing else. Yeah. Or chicken. The answer is Amri. The answer is Bala Bur Yashalam, cause of a kolo. Yes, but you also have a klal afterwards. The Torah continues that the owner of the bur, that it becomes a klal, a proper klal, because we have the word Bala Bur Yashalam. The owner of the bur has to pay, which is cause of a kolo. That's a klal again. That there was something of value that fell in there, which you have to pay for. Therefore, klal, a proper klal. And as we know, as we say every day in davening, Yapidano Kena Prat. Therefore, Ma Prat Mepurish Bala Chayim. So just like the Prat specifies animals. So also it means any kind of animal. You can only judge that the klal includes elaka'ena prat, things that are similar to the prat. The prat is animals, so therefore it means any animals, any living creatures. Okay. But not kalim. As far as Rabbi Huda, Rashi says that yes, but after all, you do have the word oi there as well. Remember, he still vouches the word oi. So yes, you have a klal, a proper klal, but the word oi is coming to add us. There's something else in that prop. There's not only shur and tamur, but also oi between kalim.
And that's the logic.
That's the law. That's his argument. Okay. So the question is, ima prat mefudash davashin if lost in the time of magor master, afkol davashin if lost in the time of magor master. You have to consider a dead shur, a dead tamur, are unique, not really unique, but they're among all the various living creatures, only four-legged animals and shrutim, their bodies are matame once they're dead. A dead chicken is not matame, for example. A dead frog is not a dead. The only ones that are matame are four-legged animals that died without shchita. So in the case of treif animals, like chamor doesn't matter, shchita doesn't make a difference. In the case of a shur, it's whether there was a kosher or shchita. Four-legged animals where the legs are clearly visible, that is, that's behemoth and chayit, and the eight shrutim that the Torah mentioned. Other than that, all the other forms of life, they're dead bodies, they're not metamic.
So a cat has four.
A cat has four legs. Its dead body is metamic. But for example, a frog, for example, is not matame. A toad is. A toad is one of the Shemona Shrutim, but a frog is not.
A pigeon
is not matame. Right. So there's a special kind of tumor called tumor's base of Leah. We won't get into that right now. There's a special tumor. If you eat the nevela of a dead kosher bird, you become tame at the moment you eat it. But that's a different thing. It's not mago mata. It's not the not the regular kind of tumor. It's not matame. So therefore. So you should say then, shur and chamor are both matame v'mago v'masa. They can matame you when you touch them or when you carry them. Remember, carrying doesn't have to be touched. It can be carrying them in a box, for example. Yeah. So only those. Abel oifres loy. Maybe it excludes birds. Maybe taka if a chicken falls into your bur. You're not chayav. The answer is imken yisav rachman chad prate. True, but if that were the case, the Torah would have only had to write one prate. It could have written shur or chamor. It didn't have to write both of them. The fact that it mentions both means that it's meant to include anything that's a balchai. Okay? question is, why? Hey, Nifted, why? Which one are you thinking the Torah should have written and left out the other one? He cost of Shur. The problem is, if the Torah had only written the word Shur, I'm in a code of the government Mizvah inch and a code of the government Mizvah law. You would think it applies only to animals that could have been brought as Korbanah. The Shur can be brought as Korban, a Chamor can't. The E cost of Rahman a Chamor, and if the Torah had only written the Chamor, have I mean a Kodesh for the Chorda ain't changed Kodesh for the Chorda loy. You would think maybe it only applies to animals that have a din of Bechor, the firstborn, or the Bechor of a kosher animal has Kedusha, the Bechor of a Chamor has Kedusha, as the same Rabbeinu Tam is filling every day, being Mosif Devar Akdoi. No other animals do that. So the Torah couldn't have written only Shur, because then you would misunderstand it means only animals that are kosher legabe mizbeach, or cattle, sheep, and goats. You can't write Chamur, because then you would think it means only those plus donkeys.
You have to write
both of them. Once you have both of them,
you would exclude
Chamur and any other animals except for the three animals that can be brought as korbanos.
And
if you wrote only Chamur, you would think only the four animals that have kedushas b'chorba.
Which is
cows, sheep, goats, and donkeys.
No.
And donkeys. You wouldn't know all the other ones. Camels, no. No, there's a special thing with donkeys, because donkeys help when you're in like Magi and they took 90 donkey loads, whatever, yeah.
And camels help.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they took out camels with them. Okay. But there's also Rashi mentions on the Pasuk over there because the mitzvah are compared to donkeys, the Shepsat Hamur and Mesarim, and therefore the Kedusha of Peter Rechem of Hamur reminds us about Makas Bacharis. Anyway, the point is that's how it is. There's a cost of that's only Hamur. Yeah, Shepsat Hamur and Mesarim, that's Pasuk in the Ketzel. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so the Torah had to tell us Shur Vachamur just so you'd understand what the process is. You still can't say, though, that maybe still you have to look at what they have in common. They have in common, okay, so you could say, fine, the Torah mentioned Shur and Chamur, so it doesn't mean only ones that are Kodesh for the Chorda, because again, it could have only told us Chamur, and we would have known all the other ones from it. So fine, we could say Chamur teaches us things that are Kodesh for the Chorda, Shur teaches us any other ones that the Nevela and Tamar of Magor Mata, that still leaves out birth. So that's the question. Elo, no. So we can't use that way of explaining it. Omar Kroos, rather, because the Pasuk says about Meth Yeloi, because the Pasuk finishes off, that the dead carcass belongs to the owner, belongs to the Nizek, implying cold the Bar Mitzvah means anything that could die. So therefore, Ophis also can die when they fall into a bone, any living creature. Which the Gemara will get back to in a little bit. In that case, why are we being Mamayat and Adam? But we'll get back to that. Where are we? Yes. Okay, so now the question becomes, Bein the Rabbanan become a Masulu or the Kalim. Now, let's ask a more basic question. Fine, you're telling me then that the definition of anything you chayav on in a bur is anything that's capable of dying in a bur. So, Bein the Rabbanan become a Masulu or the Kalim. Whether you look at it from the point of view of the Rabbanan, that say Kalim are not included. Meaning, in other words, that if it weren't for the miut of Shur v'loi Adam Chamur v'loi Kalim, we would think they are included. Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda k'ma Rabbi v'loi Kalim, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Oy is coming to include Kalim. They got to ask Kalim, but it's a ninu. What do you mean, Kalim are not something capable of dying? If the Torah is telling us, I'm messy, Eloi, yeah. Amri, so they answered, Shvirasim, Zui Misasad. Yes, but when a Kalim breaks, that, effectively, it's dead. It's dead. In other words, it can't be used. Not necessarily. And actually, Mephoshim points out an interesting thing, an interesting nachmanic on this, that actually, misasim can not only mean it's broken, as in the shard can't even be used anymore, it can even mean broken as just like partially broken, which leads Achronim to talk about when it talks about connection with the Kodesh Shabracha, that the number of dinim that apply to the wine that you use for Kiddush, Abdullah, Benching, etc. One of them is that the Kodesh has to be chah. So the one explanation of chai is it means the wine has to be raw wine, not diluted with water. But another explanation is, based on this Gemara, is that chai means cup has to not be damaged. So if it's damaged, it's not chai anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now the question becomes, Ulu Rav Dama Bor Shechiva Olav Torah Lehevlad Lehevlachavta. Fine, we learned the other day that Rav had said that the whole chiyuv of a bur is only because of the hevel, only because of the foul air in there that killed the animal, not because of the banging, not because of the impact, because of the impact of kauka olam, and you can't make the baal bur chaya for that unless the bur was in his rishus. So, bein the rabbanim, bein the rabbi huda, kalim ben hevel, and inu. Why? Are kalim susceptible to being damaged by hevel? Yeah, they don't breathe. Amri, for the answer, yes. Yes, because you could be talking about, for example, new kalim, where the stagnant air, the whatever it is, and they're in the burr over there, can break them. And actually, there's I don't know, depends on the kind of kalim, I guess. But some kinds of kalim, I guess, are more susceptible to changes in air pressure. I don't know. Whatever, the Rashba points out, even older kalim might conceivably be slightly damaged by the hevel. Whatever, the point is. Yeah, but, I don't know. The point is, it depends what kind of gas you have in there. If you have this outgassing that's coming from rocks over there, it might, I don't know. Anyway, the point is, according to Rav, therefore, the Torah has to be mechadesh, that even though there can be this damage to certain kinds of kalim and hevel, nevertheless, the Torah is still pottering you because I'm over the kalim. Next, going back to Rahmes Yaloi, we ended up saying that because it says Rahmes Yaloi implies anything that can die in a bur you're chayim for. So what do you mean? Rahmes Yaloi in bur lelech d'rava. We said already we need that din for a drasha that Rava said. Amar Rava sherp solam kashin shenapal a bur potter shenemar Rahmes Yaloi yotzeh she'en a mes shaloi. You can't use Rahmes Yaloi to teach us that anything that dies when it falls into a bur we need it for the sherp solam kashin. Yeah. We can't use it to teach us. Never mind, Caleb. We can't use it to teach us other kinds of animals aside from Shur and Hamur. We're still back to the question that we had before. That Shur and Hamur both have the concept of Tumas Nago Masa, Tumas Medeva, whereas birds don't. How are we marv them? You want to be marv them from Messi Aloy? How can we do that if we're using from Messi Aloy to teach us about Shur Psalam of Gushin? No, so that doesn't work. Elo amakra, no, rather, it's because the pasuk continues, not that it says, Amet Yaloi, but the pasuk continues, Kesef Yashav Levalov, he should give money to the owner, meaning Levalov, told the Yisrael Bible, and includes anything that has an owner. So, birds also. And then you have to Kalim Ba'adam Nami. Okay, Kalim also have an owner. A person conceivably can also have an owner. A person, let's say the person is an Ebbet, yeah. The answer is no. Because after all, I'm a servile Adam, come over like Kalim. No, because after all, you do have that mute. So you have the on the one hand, you have a ribri to say that anything that has violence. On the other hand, you have a mute of servile Adam, come over like Kalim. So putting it together, you're left with that it means anything that is not Adam or Kalim is you're high of meaning even birds. But now a little Yehuda to come Marabi with Kalim. Okay, now we got to ask though, according to the Yehuda, who says that Kalim are included. Fine, Bishlem Shurim and Ma'ase Adam. I can understand why you're using the word, why the Pasuk has to use the word Shur to teach us not an Adam. Elachamur Ma'ase, according to the Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're Chayef for Kalim. So Elachamur Ma'ase, what are you being Ma'ase by the word Chamur? He doch doesn't hold a Chamur Vele Kalim, because you are Chayef for Kalim. So according to him, what is the Chamur doing in the Pasuk over there? Now, the question is not so much. I mean, we said before you couldn't only say show because you'd misunderstand what the path is. The question is, why did the Torah have to pick after these two animals? So instead of mentioning show v'chamer, the Torah could have mentioned gummel and the Torah could have mentioned gummel and time ago. And then you'd understand everything from it, and you wouldn't need the whole discussion that we had right now. But you still have to try to figure out why they chose that. So according to the Chachamim, fine, you can say show comes to Jesus, not other. But the chamer comes to Jesus, not Caleb. But actually, I should mention. I mean, how do we get that sure Dafka means not Adam? An interesting idea I saw is because the previous things in Parashas Mishpatim up until that point, it's all been talking about Nizke Adam. It's all been talking about one person kills another, injures another, a sure kills a person, etc. All of a sudden, now the Torah shifts to Bur, and instead of mentioning that something falls into a Bur, specifically it's Shur or Chamur. Implying Davka, not an Adam. Unlike everything we were talking about until now, where an Adam was involved, here we're not dealing with that. That's the question. Well, that's, no. So, okay, so why? No. So, what, so So once you have Shur and you have Chamer, so you have once you're being Mamayat Adam from Shur, so you should be Mamayat Kalim from Chamer. But the question is, who wants to be Huda? Why that for Kalim? Because what else are you going to be Mamayat? Granted. So that explanation doesn't really work as far as the mirror for Kalim. But, I mean, okay. But,
you have nothing else
to be Mamayat, I guess, yeah.
It has to be Kalim. What else can you be Mamayat?
Anyway, so back to the question. According to the Behuda, if you are in fact chayav for kalim, what are we taking out because of the word hamer? Ela amar Rava. So Rava says, hey, you know what? You're right. Hamer de burr of Behuda. The word hamer when it comes to a burr, according to the Behuda, the seda, and by the way, also the seda
dibur,
the hamer that's mentioned in connection with the burr, according to the Behuda, the seda aveda, and the word, and incidentally also the word said that the Torah mentions in connection with a lost object. The Torah mentions that you see that if you find somebody's chamer, shur, seh, salma, gemara in Bava Metzia, in Eilu Metzia, explains what we learn from each one of them, but we don't really have any particular limud to learn from seh. So those, the divra, so seh david of divra hakel. So according to everybody, what we learn from seh is kasha. It's kasha, what taka learns from them. Because according to the Behuda, we don't seem to have any particular limud that he learns from Chamer. And according to everybody, we don't seem to have any particular limud that we learn from Seth.
We don't know.
Actually, I mean, I'll tell you two things on it, though. The Meshech Chochma says that maybe we learn from it that even, for example, we're going to learn later in the Seth that a person is not supposed to raise small animals, sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael because they eat up, they destroy the trees, they destroy the ground cover, whatever, the deforestation. Even though a person had a set and he lost it, you would think maybe don't return it to him. He wasn't supposed to be raising it in Eretz Yisrael in the first place. Nevertheless, the Torah is saying return it to him. Yeah, but so you can have it for a short term, you can have it, but you can't be raising him long term. We'll learn later on in the Masechta. There's rules about it, so you can have them in certain areas, whatever. We'll get to it then. We'll get to it at the end of seventh paragraph, Hashem. I won't be here at that point, but you'll be in good hands then, Hashem. New word, Hashem. Anyway, I'll tell you also that the Seda Aveda, that the Marshal says something on it at the end of Makkah is very appropriate for today for Shabbat and Tammuz. The remez in it is the Jewish people are compared to a set Zura Yisrael. So therefore, the Torah is mentioning a set in connection with an Aveda, even though there's no particular limud from it, to represent that we're an Aveda, which the Avishta, so to speak, is looking for us and working to try and find us and take us out of God. Aveda is Mishrakesh, as Gemara says the expression at the end of Makkah, the Jewish people. We've been lost among the nations. So one of the Amoraim says, I'm scared about that pasuk. We're going to be lost. What's going to happen to us? And the answer is no. We're Avedam is Bakeshet. We are lost, but our owner is looking out for us, is looking for us. And that's Marshal brings in that is in that connection. At the end of Makkah. Mishnah said, Nafal will say, Shur Cheder Shur to Bekotten Chalim. So we have to ask, My Chet Shur Cheder Shur to Bekotten. What does this mean? Remember, shur cheresh shur of a cotton could have two possible meanings. It can mean the shirt itself is a cheresh or a shur to a cotton, or it can mean the shur is of, it belongs to a cheresh shur of a cotton. So, ilaim a shur shell cheresh, shur shell shur to shur shell cotton, does it mean that it belongs to a shur, or does it mean that it belongs to a cheresh shur to a cotton? What are you implying? A shur shall be keach potter? What are you implying that if the shur belongs to a keach, you'll be potter? Why should you be potter if a keach shur falls into your birth? No, it means shur shahu cheresh, shur shahu shaita, shur shahu kot. It means the shur itself is a cheresh, the shur shahu kot. So what's the implication? The Gemara says, why? Har shur shahu kach potter. So what are you telling me then that if a shur, the chaos that falls into the burry of potter? Right. Well, eventually that's what the Gemara is going to end up saying. But right now, the Gemara doesn't want to assume that. After all, we don't have the potter, doesn't say any such thing. Why should we assume that? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, lo mi boya kama. So actually, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, the Mishnah is telling us needless to say. Needless to say, if the shur is b'keach, that of course you chayev because you dug a burr. And you can't argue to the owner, what are you doing letting your shur wander around in the street? It's normal to have your shur wander around in the street. But if the shur itself is a cheresh or shur to the cotton, Ema, you would think that maybe the owner of the burr has the ability to argue back. you know what? It's because this animal is a cheresh that it fell in. That's not totally my fault. You allowed your animal, which is a cheresh, to wander around the street, and therefore it fell in. I shouldn't be held totally responsible. Belifter, and therefore maybe you should be puzzled. Kamash Malan, that's a chiddush. So according to that way of looking at it, you are chayav for a shor b'keach. And but you not only chayav for a shor b'keach, but you even chayav for a shor b'keach. That doesn't work. We learn in a braisa, nafal ofecha bar das potter. A braisa says that if a bar das falls into the burial potter, my love sure bar das. Lechora that means a sure that has das, meaning not a cheder shaykhukam. Amalei loy, adam. No, the word bar das means a person. If you're a person, falls into a burial, that sure loy adam, so you potter. So what are you telling me? Elam yasa adam ben das or the potter halab ben das or the chayev. So what are you telling me if a person who is not a ben das, like a child, falls in there, you would be chayev? Sher v'lo adam. The Torah says sher v'lo adam is a blanket statement. Any kind of adam, you're potter. Ella, so no, you have to answer. My ben das, min ben das. No, so you have to answer that when the braisa says ben das, doesn't mean that the thing that fell into the burr itself is a ben das. It means it's from a species that have das. People are a species that have das. Shvarim are species that don't have das. So regardless of whether the individual person has das, the species of humankind has das, we hope anyway. So therefore your potter, regardless whether this particular one has das. That's what the Gemara is gonna end up. That's the point. That's gonna be the point, right? So far in other words, you can't prove from this braisa that if the shur has das, you should be potter. Maybe indeed the rule is if the species has das, you're potter. If the species doesn't have das, then you're chayav, regardless whether the shur is b'keach or not. Amalei v'altanya, nafal osecha shur ben das potter, but you have another braisa that clearly spells out a shur that is a ben das, is a potter. No, the ela amar rava, no. So going back to our original thing, shur v'hu chere shur v'hu shur to shur v'hu katan dafka, it means, the Mishnah means you're only chayav in those cases, if the shur itself is chere shur v'hu katan. Aval shur v'hu b'keach potter, but if the shur itself is a pekeach, you are in fact potter. My time at the boiler, you know you may though, because the shur should have looked where it was going. So this is what you were just mentioning, that that animal that the Mefarshim talk about, we learned earlier in the Sefer, we learned that people don't usually end up bnei adam leitzvayin b'drasim. The difference is people don't look down. Animals, they do look down. They will, and in fact, we learn like that in the price. And Nafal says the shur cher shek v'katan v'suma, or if the animal was blind, or mahalach b'layla, or even if it was a normal, healthy animal, but it was walking at night, chayev pekeach mahalach b'yam. But if the animal is pekeach and walking during the day, potter, because then the animal should have looked where it was going. Mishnah says, echad shur v'echad chol behema. The same din is true as far as a shur or any other animal. L'nefilas habur, as far as falling into a bur, even though, as we said on Amud Aleph, the Pasuk only mentions shur v'chamur. We learned by in the end, we learned from Kesef Yashav Levalav that it includes other animals as well. And by the way, the Mishnah is going to mention that there's a number of other dinim where also, even though the Torah only mentions one particular kind of animal, where or two kinds, that it applies across. So also, the last rush is Har Sinai. It's also true as far as being separated from Har Sinai. When the Pasuk says that whether any person or any animal that goes up on the Har Sinai, Behemoth and Ishwa Yisrael is going to be killed, it means Behemoth is Chayas and Oifus as well. Also by the second book, that's where we lay in Bayachal, Gamasoin, Vabakar, Al Yiru, Al Mullah, Harahu, doesn't only mean Bakar, but it means all the other animals as well. Well, the tashlumei kefil, also that tashlumei kefil, if a person steals an animal or anything, he pays kefil. That applies across the board, not just to certain kinds of animals. Well, ashavas aveda, that's again, even though the Torah only mentioned a certain few kinds of animals, it applies across the board. Leprika, as far as the din of that you have a mitzvah to help unload an animal that's overburdened, the other kazavim, right? That applies, again, even though the Torah only mentions in that case shur or chamur, it applies to all animals. Lachasima, as far as the mitzvah, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working with food. Lesaksim shur b'disha, even though it only means shur. What?
Let him eat.
Let him eat. Yeah, let him eat. Yeah. When in Bava Matiyah, we'll learn about it at great length. Ulaklayim, also as far as kilayim, that you're not allowed to. The kilayim actually has two different aspects in it as far as animals. One is that you're not allowed to have two different kinds of animals do work together, for example, a shur, a chamur, for example, have them plow together. The other is you're not allowed to crossbreed two kinds of animals You know, it's a mate. You know, it's having a male and female animal, two different species mate. So that applies to all animals. All the Shabbos. And as far as Shabbos, when the Torah says that you have to let your animals rest on Shabbos, it means any animal. And not only behemoths, not only domestic animals, but also chayas and So if that's the case, then why in all these cases does the Torah mention specifically shurta chamur? The Torah is mentioning the common cases. It's common for a shurta chamur to be walking down the street and fall into a boat. It's common for a shurta chamur to be used to pull a wagon or what have you. But it applies like that. The Gemara says, where do we see that any animal that falls into a bor yuchayev? Because we said, kesef yashav v'volok. It says money has to be paid to the owner. Kol de'isay b'ilim. Any creature that has an owner, kidam moron, like we said, anam v'ralok. Any animal. Where do we see lafroshas ha'sinai? Where do we see that when it came to be having to stay off ha'sinai by matan Torah, that it's applied to animals and birds as well? Because the pasuk says im behemei im ish lo yichya. The pasuk says whether beast or whether behemoth, whether animal or man, it won't live. And we have a general rule throughout Shas that most of the time when the Torah says behemoth, it includes chaya as well. So therefore, automatically by saying im behemoth, im ish, it includes wild animals as well. And im, l'vabas is ha'ozbis. And when the Torah says im behemoth, im ish, it also comes to include birds. So it includes them all. Well, tashlumi kefil. How do we know that tashlumi kefil applies to all kinds of animals? Kedamrin, and as we will learn in a later perek, in the seventh perek in Merubah, when we talk about the whole concept of tashlumi kefil and tashlumi abba v'chamisha, the pasuk says our cold dvar pesha. Well, the Torah says anything on which a person can be guilty. So therefore, tashlumi kefil applies to anything. Actually, it applies even to non-living things, not just to behemoths, chayas, nefesh. It all anything that a person feels is chayas tashlumi kefil. Kolah called by pshia includes anything that there's as pshia. La shavas aveda, because it says la chol aveda sachicha, because the pasuk says anything that your brother loses. Leprika, how do we know that when it comes to prika, to unloading an overburdened animal, that it applies to any animal? Yalef, chamur mishabas. You make it zeder shava, because the Torah says by prika that if you see your enemy's donkey, roivet tachal, if you see a chamur sainacha, roivet tachal, what?
You have to unload it.
They have to help unload it, yeah. So we learn by zeder shava from Shabbos, where by Shabbos, by the dibris shiis, by the second, by the repetition of the after the dibris and partial by Chanan, as we'll discuss soon, the Torah mentions over there shurch of a chamur of a chobam tacham. So therefore, we make a zeder shava, chamur, that therefore the mitzvah of prika applies to any animal. Hasima, how do we know that this applies to hasima? So this mitzvah that you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working with food. Yalav shur b'Shabbos, a similar thing. We make it zera shava because there it says l'sachta b'shur b'dishoy. By Shabbos it says b'shur chavachamarcha. So there it's zera shava that it means that applies to anything. The kilayim, when it comes to kilayim, depends what kind of kilayim you're talking about. E kilayim de harisha. If you're talking about the kilayim that the Torah says, you know, lots of two different kinds of animals work together. So the Torah says l'sachrish b'shur chavachamar yachav. So then yalav shur b'Shabbos. Then we have the same zera shava shur from Shabbos that it means not only a shur and chamur but any animal. Incidentally, by the way, I should mention that Rambam has an interesting shita on this. The Rambam holds that the issue of having two animals work together, the deraisa issue is only when one is a kosher animal and one is a non-kosher animal, like a shur and chamur. According to the Rambam, if you had, for example, a sheep and a goat doing work together, you don't have a chayav d'rabbanan. The Ravid and many others are showing to disagree with that. It's kind of a moot point nowadays. There's no Malkus anyhow nowadays. Either way, it's awesome. Either way, it's awesome. Okay. So if we're talking about Kalayim of Harusha, then you learn from Shabbos. If you're talking about Kalayim of cross breeding animals, so the Torah says, Shurcha Machamurcha Bechol Behem Tefa. By Kilai Behema, it says Behemtecha like Sabia Kilayim. So you have a Zer Shava, the word Behemtecha, that it means any Behema. Okay. Regabe Shabbos Menolon. Okay, by Shabbos itself, how do we know that all animals are included? The Tanya, Rav Yosef, and Meshumi Bishmol. Like, the Dibris that is shown is Nehemar, Abdecha, Vamos, Elam Techa. By the first Dibris, meaning the original thing of it in Parshas Yisroi, when the Torah was given, it just says Abdecha v'amos v'lam techa. You have to let your slave, your maidservant, and your animal rest on Shabbos. And when it comes to the second dibris, the repetition of them in Baras Chanan, it adds the shurcha v'chamur v'chol b'hem tefa, your ox, your donkey, and any of your animals. It's not asked by the shur v'chamur v'chol b'hem, are you? Shur and chamur are included, b'hem tefa includes any animals, the lama yotu, so why is the Torah singling them out? Lama lach, to teach you like this, ma shur v'chamur v'chol makan chayav v'oteh yitzvan, just like when it says over here, shur v'chamur, it means also any other kind of animal, as we will learn in a second, with Jerusha, how we know that that's so. Of course, I have always paid to ban the same thing any other time. When the Torah says, shur or hamur, it means any animal. Question is, why? Aima behemoth divrei sotoshonis klal. Why? You can argue that you have a klal in the divrei sotoshonis, it only says the word behemoth. And then in the second dibris in Baras Chanan it says prat of shur v'chamur. So klal prat ein mechlal elamashu prat. So the klal only includes what's in the prat shur v'chamur ein midiachrin eloy. So it only includes shur v'chamur, nothing else. Now, usually you would think, why would you call that a klal prat anyway? One's in Yisrei, one's in Baras Chanan. They're a couple of kumashim apart. Usually you don't do a klal prat like that. Tosfos says this is an exception. They have to be close together. Here, Tosfos says it's an exception. We know that Zoch v'Shama b'Dibur Echad, that the first and the second version of the Dibris were both spoken by the Eivishter at the same time. Therefore, even though they're written in different places in the Torah, we can consider it as if it's one thing. And therefore, yes, we can use one versus the other for a follow up. So anyway, the point is, therefore, so you only have Shur v'Chamur then. The answer is Amri. So the answer, B'chol b'hem techa, the dibur asachon is called a b'chol. Fine, but you have the word afterwards that says B'chol b'hem techa, which comes to make a klal again. So again, klal of prat of klal, he had the donor lekena prat. So again, when you have a thing like that, and it means that the klal includes anything that is similar to the prat. Therefore, ma prat mefurish balei chayim. So the prat is living creatures. Afkol balei chayim. So therefore, the klal has to include any other living creatures as well. Well, what else are you going to have not work for you on Shabbos? Yeah. I mean, there is actually a machlokas b'tzivul in the Shabbos, whether you were about the concept of Shavisa Kalim, you have to have your Kalim, also rests on Shabbos. The Shammai holds yes, and therefore they hold there's a number of things. You're not allowed to start before Shabbos unless there would be time for them to be finished before Shabbos, whereas the Tzivul says you're allowed to. The halacha is like the Tzivul. What are some examples over there that I mentioned? That, for example, you're allowed to, first of all, nowadays, you know, you have timers to turn on and off the lights or whatever, according to the Shammai, that kind of thing could be an issue. But the examples that the Gemara gives over there, examples that the Mishnah gives over there is, for example, you can put flax into an oven before Shabbos and it'll continue drying in there over Shabbos, because it doesn't matter. The oven is on, the oven is lit throughout Shabbos, so there's not a problem with it, because your oven does not have to rest on Shabbos, only you do. Whereas the Shammai says no. Yeah.
So according to the Shammai, you cannot eat warm?
No, according to no. So the Shammai does make exceptions for certain things. You're allowed to... No, because the Torah doesn't give us a heter for it. There's certain things that Shammai says you're allowed to have. You're allowed to light candles before Shabbos. You're allowed to have your food. You're allowed to do shahir or ratzmona before Shabbos.
But you cannot keep it warm on Shabbos.
No, we learned over there on Shabbos. We ran into all the details a bit of why the Shammai says certain things are allowed on Shabbos. But by and large, the Shammai holds this concept of Shavuot Kalim. Anyway, but Patillo doesn't, and that's what we're saying over here. We're including only Baalei Chayim. Okay. Again, like we did on Amud Aleph, we have the same problem that over there it says Shur v'Chamur, and here it says only Shur v'Chamur, and Shur v'Chamur have something in common that that certain other kinds of creatures, in particular Ophis, do not. Namely, the aim of my prat and furtish dovish and have lost in time of magor masa. The prat includes things where the dead body in time of magor masa. I've called dovish and have lost in time of magor masa. I've an ophis lay. Maybe then it doesn't apply to birds. Because their nevela is out of time of magor masa. The answer is, again, Amri, the answer. Imken, yichtav rachman, achad prata. Same as we tried on Amud Aleph. Okay, in that case, the Torah could have written either Shur or Chamur, and we would have learned everything else from it. The fact that it mentioned both means that it's meant to be including all living creatures in general. And again, we have the same problem as we did on Amud Aleph. Which one are you thinking the Torah should have should have written and left out the other one. Ikos Rahmana Shur Havim and Akur Lagavim Zaf Ain, Shane Akur Lagavim Zaf Lay. If it only wrote Shur, you would think it only applies to animals that are capable of being brought as korbanos. And then you would say any other can of animals you could have worked for you on Shabbos.
And right.
Kos Rahmana Khamur, therefore the Torah had to write Khamur. The Kos Rahmana Khamur Havim and Akurish Bukhurda Ain, Shle Kurdish Bukhurda Lay. And if it only wrote Khamur, you would think it only applies to animals that have Kedushas Bukhurda. That have kedushas b'chura, so therefore chamur, sure. Well, yeah, anything that has kedushas b'chura can be brought on the mizbeach. Fine, but it would be only anything that has kedushas b'chura can be brought on the mizbeach. Except for chamur. Cows, sheep, and goats have the dinim of b'chura, and they also have, and they also can be brought as korban. A chamur has the dinim of b'chura, but it's not brought as a korban.
If it only said chamur,
you would think it means only those four. Which have kedushas b'chura. So necessarily, it had to say, therefore, kos rachman a shur. So therefore, the Torah had to write shur. The answer is, Ella, no. No, the answer is that you're thinking that the klal of prat uklal. You're thinking that in the dibris or shonis it says ubehemtecha, in the dibris shniyas it says shurcha b'chamorcha, and then continues b'chol behemtecha, and you're thinking that the klal of prat uklal. It's not. The word b'chol behemtecha ribuyim is a ribuy, meaning that includes any kind of living creature. Okay, everyone says, why?
How do we know that?
Because otherwise the Torah could have said shurcha b'chamorcha ubehemtecha.
Behemtecha would be your...
Behemtecha would be the klal. And then we would say, yes, we have behemtecha would be the klal, shor v'chamor would be the prat, behemtecha again would be the klal, and yes, we would say it applies only to animals that have tumas neveva. But the b'chol behemtecha comes to add everything else as well. Okay, the question is, b'cholecha b'chol rachmana kol ribuy, yahoo. What are you telling me every time the Torah says the word kol, it means a ribuy? What about by maise, if it's kol? The Kodashin and the Kala Prat. I might say it uses the word kol, and yet that's one of the classic cases of Kala Prat the Kwal. Namely, in Tanya, we learn in a Blaise, when the Pasuk says, in a Fatah Kesef a Kolosha to Avanash, or the Pasuk says that Maitre Shady money you can spend on it, you take it to your Shalayim, the money, and you spend it on anything that your heart desires, that is a Kwal, it means you can buy anything. But Bakor of Asona by Yayan of Ashekh of Prat, then it mentions four specific things, cattle, sheep, wine, or strong wine, is that. Anything kol that your heart desires is another kol. So kol of prophet style, yes, done a kind of prat. Ma prat kodesh tri gedulei karka. So what's unique about this prat? What's special about it? About these four things? What do they have in common? That they're all tri. One fruit that grows from a previous fruit. The yayin and shecher are made. Yayin and shecher are made. Rashi learns over here that shecher means beer, which is made from dates. In Pasuk, I think Rashi says it means strong wine. But whatever. The point is, yayin and shecher are both made from fruits where they reproduce. Animals reproduce, and the gedulei karka, and they grow from the ground directly or indirectly. So the pre-mipri. Indirectly, because they eat grass, right? They eat grass or herbs or whatever that grow from the ground. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, so pre-mipri comes to exclude, for example, you cannot spend my sashani money on mushrooms because they're not pre-mipri. They don't reproduce from seeds, from a food like that. And it also excludes water and salt. And gedulei karka comes to exclude fish. Fish are not gedulei karka. They don't live off what grows on the ground. So therefore, at kol primi primi gedulei karka. So the same thing, you can spend my tashani money at only on something which is primi primi gedulei karka. So we see that even though the Torah uses the word kol, fruits or animals, fruits or fruit products or animals or animal products, yeah. But not again, not fish, not mushrooms, not water, not salt. Even though the Torah says uvachol asher b'shalchan asher. Now why? According to what you just said, kol should be a ribu.
And here it says a meal.
The answer is Amri. They say there's a difference. Bakol klala, kol ribuya. There's a difference. Where it says bichol, not bakol, bichol rather. Where it says bichol, that is a cloud. So therefore, it's part of the cloud of prophet cloud season. Where it says kol without the base, then it's a ribu. Here by aseret hadibros, when it says shercha v'chamercha, bichol behemtecha, the kol can be a ribu.
Bichol is a ribu.
Bichol is a ribu. Whereas bichol. I don't know. Or you could also answer call Nami Paula. Who know you could answer? Fine. Call is meant to be a plural. Mew. Hi. Call the Hoharibuyu. However, in this case, in the case of the Aseret Dibra, it's fine. In general, you would say that call is meant to be the plural of a plural of perhaps a plural people. So why by the Aseret Dibra are we saying differently? Because here we have to say it's a ribui. Because after all, the Torah could have just as well used the word ubehemtcha, just like it did in the first dibros. The second dibros we have, there's a number of differences between them and the first dibros, but they're not just arbitrary. We had to use shor v'chamor in the second dibros for the gzeira shavos that we talked about before. Because in the end, we're not using them for a klal of prat v'klal. But if the Torah meant them to be for a klal of prat v'klal, then after all, behemtecha is a klal. It could have just said ubehemtecha exactly as it did in the first dibros. Didn't have to add the b'chol. Therefore, shemam and ribuya. Therefore, you have to say that the kol is a ribuya. So okay, then if you're saying that the word kol is meant to be a ribuy, so you got to ask behemtecha the dibros or shoras or shorva chamor the dibros after formally. So why does it say behemtecha by the first dibros, and why does it say shorva chamor by the second dibros? The answer is amri. So the answer like this: shor is like muri shor shor lachasim. The word shor we need because we need it to be used for gzeira shavah. As we said before, for chasima, they now have to muzzle any animal while it's working on food. We learn that from gzeira shavah. Shor shor. Chamer, like Muri Chamer, Chamer the Prika. We needed the Chamer to teach us about the mitzvah of Prika, where it only says Chamer over there. And Prika was unloading an animal that was over there. And Behemtecha, like Muri, Behemtecha, Behemtecha, the Kalayim. And the word Behemtecha we needed further for the limud for Kalayim, to say that you're not allowed to crossbreed any animals, not just Shor and Chamer. And the question is, you also have to go Odom Litzar. Fine, by that logic, if you're learning Kalayim from Shabbos, just like by Shabbos, you're not allowed, I mean, the Pasuk mentions people, and it also mentions animals. You're not allowed to have Aso, Rincho, Vitecha, Abdechabam, etc. So, Afilo Odom Litzar, then the same thing when it comes to Kalayim, namely Kalayim of Charisha, namely plowing or carry or pulling a wagon or what have you. It should be also to do a person together with an animal. So why, Taka? We learn in a Mishnah in Kalayim that a person is it. You are allowed. You're not allowed to have a shur and chamur, or any two animals pull a wagon or a plow or whatever, but you are allowed to have a person pulling the animal, pulling the wagon or what have you, together with an animal. Why? If you're learning from Shabbos, then learn across the board.
Two different species of animals, you're not allowed, but
a person and an animal, you are.
You are allowed.
Yes, so why? By Shabbos, you're not allowed to have a person work for you, you're not allowed to have an animal work for you. And we're saying, we're learning from the Ribui that it means any animal. So by the same logic, when it comes to, like, Sakhrish, Meshurto, Hamar Yachtav, by the same logic, it means a person or it means any other animals as well as people. Amar Papa, Papunai Yadi Taima Dehamilta. The people from Papunoi, is the name of a place, know a good reason for this. Umanu, who is this Papunoi, is Rab Achaba Yachtav, because that's where he lived. It's a place in Bavel, I don't know. Don't go around nowadays looking for it.
No.
Yeah. What is the reason? Omakra, because the pasuk says Oman Yanuach Abdechavamos for Kamoicha, because the pasuk says that by Shabbos, so that your slave and your maid servant should be able to rest like you, implying Lahanocha he kashdiv lo l'davar acher, implying I'm making a hekesh between an eved and a shur and what have you as far as rest on Shabbos, but only for that, not for anything else. So therefore, when it comes to Kalayim or Charisha, there's no mirror that you can't use an eved. You can't have an eved or a free person, for that matter, pull it together with an animal.
Because the
hekesh only applies. The Torah is specifically telling us the man yom nuach that it only applies to resting on Shabbos and nothing else.
Not
the Kalayim. Yeah. Myriv is 8:52.